إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم إن من أشراط الساعة أن يتباهى الناس في المساجد أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and elders, while South Africans nationally celebrate a decade of democracy, as Muslims, the one thing that has happened definitely positively in the last decade with the fall of apartheid and the advent of democracy, that as Muslims have moved into different areas like this very area of ours, Alhamdulillah, many, many masajid have been established in areas where previously Muslims could not enter. Now, Alhamdulillah, masajid have been established. 5 times daily salah is being performed. And I think it would just be our moral obligation in this regard. And I'm sure these sentiments would be echoed by the ulama nationally across the country. It would be our moral obligation in this regard that we give credibility to the ruling party who fought for the liberation of this country. And perhaps that should set the tone for whom we should cast our vote. Just to take up 2 minutes and see, the elections is before us. Without condoning the wrong of the ruling party, however, when we analyze this very party in the interest of the Muslims, they were very passionate and many a times more vociferous than even Muslim countries. With the recent assassination of Sheikh Yasin rahimahumullah, we find our country came across very loud, very passionate, very vociferous. With regards to the invasion in Iraq and Palestine, alhamdulillah, we enjoy that freedom of religion. Immediately when the ban came in France, it was issued immediately in our country that inshallah this will not take place. And as far as those things, those policies which are contrary to Islam, as Muslims we know our constitution is the Quran. We govern our life by the Quran. And we call upon the government also. We call upon the government on this such occasion that they should review their policies, not for Islamic reasons. To review the policy, for example, as far as the lottery is concerned, not from the prohibition from an Islamic perspective, but by the coming about of the lottery, wallah, the poorest of the poor are suffering. By legalizing drinking, how much road rage accidents are taking place, how much abuse is taking place. By the widespread prostitution, is this not increasing the pandemic of AIDS? So without condoning the wrong of the ruling party, when we look at the interest that this particular party has fought in the liberation of this country and the freedom that we enjoy, that today we sit in such a place where previously we could never enter into these towns. And alhamdulillah, we are sitting in this Jamar Khana. And very soon, inshallah, we hope that our masjid will also take place. Say ameen, inshallah, brothers. We find in the ayat kareema that I have recited, Allah Rabbul Izzat exhorts us to the building of masajid. Allah encourages us, Allah exhorts us. Allah makes mention of the people of the cave who slept for 3 centuries. And after 3 centuries, when Allah gave them life and Allah revived them, and then they came into contact with the people, which was an open miracle. لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. One of the reasons of this was so that people can become convinced beyond doubt regarding life after death. That your people who slept for 3 centuries, Allah revived them and they relate the incidents. Subsequently, they then died a natural death and a permanent death. After they died, the Quran then discusses, there was debate amongst the people, what building should be built adjacent to their graves, since they are pious people. People will come from far and wide to respect these people and come and visit their graves and, come and convey thawab to their deceased, to their souls. قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. Allah makes mention, finally, those that were in charge, those who had deen in their mind, they decided that the best thing that could be built here in the interest of these people and the people that would be coming is a house of Allah. To build the house of Allah, to build a masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has encouraged us that a masjid, in fact ulama have also written that a masjid should be constructed in a certain way that preferably the minara is vivid from a distance, because this is a symbol of Islam. And one of the underlying reasons of jihad, while the West is ready to harp on jihad being as an aggressive measure, brothers, if you read yesterday's star, that is the 8th of April 2004, the heading was Mosque's legitimate target. Now Allah makes mention in the 17 juz of the Quran. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Allah says, permission was granted to the believers to wage war. Why? Because they were fought against. Then furthermore, Allah highlights the wisdom behind jihad, the principle of jihad. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعُ وَصَلَوَاتُ وَمَسَاجِدُ. Allah says, if it wasn't for the principle of jihad, where this ummah would present its precious life and revive the likes of Shaykh Yasin, may Allah fill his grave with nur, and give him a high abode in Jannat, who has his name engraved in the heart of every Muslim till the day of Qiyamah, and who has created fresh life, and who has added to the spirit and the zeal of Muslims across the globe. In fact, one of the issues upon which Shaykh Yasin was very vocal, if you study his biography, his autobiography, was not a political issue, was not a land issue. He was very passionately believed that Masjid al-Aqsa and its surroundings was made waqaf to the entire Muslim ummah by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And hence, this is a matter that cannot be negotiated. Like Allah speaks about Masjid al-Haram. وَالَّذِينَ يَسُدُّونَ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَلَّذِي جَعَلْنَاهُ لِلنَّاسِ سَوَاءَ الْعَاكِفُ فِيهِ وَالْبَادِ. That Masjid al-Haram and all those particular lands which are associated with the rituals of Hajj, that is Mina, that is Arafat, that is Muzdalifah, that is Safa, that is Sa'i, this does not come in the personal ownership of the Saudi government nor any king. This is waqf to the entire Muslim ummah. Hence Allah says, I recall when the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa came many, many years ago, I was a young boy, my ustad had compiled, few couplets in his honor to receive him. And the repeated couplets in the, the honor of the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa, which must have been good 10, 15 years ago, was Al-Masjid al-Aqsa lana istayqidhu shubbanana. Al-Masjid al-Aqsa lana istayqidhu shubbanana. Oh, the entire Muslim ummah, Masjid al-Aqsa belongs to us. It is the first Qibla of Islam. The Nabi of Allah performed Salah facing Masjid al-Aqsa for 17 months. Istayqidhu shubbanana. Stand up our youth, stand up our youth. Where are you when Masjid al-Aqsa has been snatched away from the lands of the entire Muslim ummah? Nonetheless, Allah says one of the fundamental reasons of jihad. In the 17 juz of the Quran, Allah says, وَلَوْلَا. If it wasn't for this principle of jihad, brothers, study the history of the Babri Masjid. Many, many lives were lost. And may Allah accept the martyrdom of those Muslims who fought tooth and nail to preserve this masjid, to protect this masjid. Allah says, if it wasn't for the principle of jihad, where this ummah would present its seriousness and its commitment in defending the masjid, then never mind one masjid. Allah says, in the time of Musa, all the synagogues would have been destroyed. In the time of Isa, all the churches would have been destroyed. And in the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every masjid would have been demolished. But it is the principle of jihad where this ummah would defend and the houses of Allah will be protected. So nevertheless, the ayat kareem Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is sitting with his sahaba. And one Yahudi scholar comes, Hibram min al-Yahud, in fact a rabbi. And he comes and he asks Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, which is the most blessed piece of land? Which is the most blessed piece of land? Nabi kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, I do not have the answer. I will speak to Jibreel and he will ask Allah and then I will give you the answer. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Jibreel that I have been asked this question, which is the most sacred piece of land? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, I will then take the question forward to Allah. And then Jibreel alayhi salam presents in the court of Allah. And it comes in this narration, Allah afforded Jibreel alayhi salam an additional hospitality. Because he came as a messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. وَلَعَلَّ زِيَادَةُ تَقَرُّبِهِ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَرَّةِ لتعظيم النبي وقد يزيد المحب في احترام رسول الحبيب لأجل الحبيب صلى الله عليه وسلم. That many a times a person gives additional hospitality to the envoy, not acknowledging him, but acknowledging that he is the messenger of my beloved. Hence, Nabi alayhi salam says that Jibreel came, and Jibreel says, I had the opportunity of coming so close to Allah, that never before was I privileged of coming so close to Allah. And then I asked Allah, oh Allah, which is the most sacred piece of land? And then Allah asked me, when there were only 70,000 veils of nur between me and Allah, and Allah answered by saying, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. That the most blessed piece of land undoubtedly is that piece of land where Allah's name is taken. In fact, that particular location where Allah communicated with Musa alayhi salam, which is a barren land and till today stands, a jungle, it's a mountain, Mount Tur, Mount Sinai, which is, 500 odd kilometers from Cairo. But that location Allah communicated with Musa alayhi salam. And because Musa alayhi salam was privileged with communicating with Allah on that land, Allah makes reference to this land, إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. That this is the blessed land of Tuwa. Allah refers to it as Buq'atul Mubarakah, the blessed piece of land. Nabi alayhi salam has encouraged us in the hadith that in your homes also designate and allocate a place of ibadat. Make one place exclusive. Aisha radiallahu anha is the narrator. At times the woman folk, at times the daughter. As men, we have been encouraged to read our sunnahs at home. If Allah has meant our death, that we die at home, then at least we can tell our family, take me in that particular room. Let me lie on that room where my son became a hafiz of the Quran. I remember when I was in the States, I stayed at one brother's house. After I had completed my stay and I was returning, he was about to sell the house. So he said, Maulana, I have decided that I'm going to sell this house to a Muslim, even if I have to settle on a smaller price. I asked him why. He says, you stayed here, many other ulama stayed here. My son memorized the Quran here. I don't want idol worship to take place in this house. Allah be my witness, I will take $20,000 less. These were his words. I will settle for $20,000 less, but this house must go in the hands of a Muslim, that good must continue from here. This should be the spirit of a Muslim. And Nabi alayhi salam says that you should make this place exclusive for ibadat. So when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam returns to Nabi alayhi salam, and then Nabi alayhi salam makes mention that the most blessed piece of land is the house of Allah, is the masjid of Allah. And the most wretched piece of land is the bazaar, is the marketplace. Ulama ikram explained that there are so many places that are much more evil than the marketplace. Yet the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam makes mention that the most evil place is the market. The reason for this is that the other evil places, that is, for example, the casinos, unfortunately, that are so close a proximity to us, the places of zina and all other places, these were supposed to be non-existent. These weren't supposed to exist, so never mind being evil. It wasn't supposed to be on the face of this earth. Of course, the market and the place where we trade is not a conducive atmosphere for deen. But it is inevitable. One has to have it. A person has to engage in commerce and trade. So the most blessed piece of land indeed is the house of Allah. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرَةِ. With regards to those who spend in the construction of the masjid. The hadith I quoted in the beginning, let me first explain this here. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has made mention of many prophecies. And I think it is of paramount importance that we have a balanced understanding of the prophecies of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam. Nabi alayhi salam says, amongst the signs of Qiyamah, amongst the signs of Qiyamah is that people will boast and brag on the external architecture of the masjid. This is the hadith of Abu Dawud. By saying this, I do not suggest or advocate or discourage in any way that we should not build. For example, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam says, a time will come, people will excel in the physical recitation of the Quran. They will have melodious voice, yet they would be devoid of spirituality. They would not reflect the image of Quran. They would not practice the Quran, yet they would excel in the recitation of the Quran. We have not been discouraged in reading Quran, but rather we have been discouraged, or rather we have been encouraged to combine both. To live a life according to the dictates of the Quran and to excel in the recitation of the Quran. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu also cautions us under the commentary of this ayat where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, يُعَمِّرُونَهَا يَتَبَاهُونَ فِيهَا ثُمَّ لَا يُعَمِّرُونَهَا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They will physically beautify the masjid, then they will very, very few of them will establish the masjid. Under the commentary of this ayah, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. Those who establish. Now under the commentary of this ayat, Mufassirin write, it encompasses anything and everything from the building of the masjid to the maintenance of the masjid, to establish in the masjid, to attend in salah in that masjid. For example, in the hadith of Tibrani, it comes that Nabi alayhi salam says, to make an effort to keep the masjid clean, this would secure dowry for you for the woman of Jannah. There was one woman of Abyssinian origin who is to come and sweep the masjid of Nabi alayhi salam, who was not given much regard, status and recognition. She one day passed away in the night. Nabi alayhi salam was sleeping. Sahaba ikram felt that who she is. They arranged for her ghusl. They had her, you know, buried. The next morning and few days later, Nabi alayhi salam says, there was this woman that used to come and clean the masjid. I no longer see this woman. Where is this woman? So Sahaba said, no, Nabi of Allah, you know, one of the nights she passed away. And then we arranged for her ghusl and we buried her. Nabi alayhi salam says, Allah adhantu muni. You did not inform me. I am passionate in performing the janazah of this woman. Take me to her grave. And then Nabi alayhi salam performed janazah namaz. Of course, this was exclusive to Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. And then Nabi alayhi salam said, that do you know these graves are filled with darkness? And when I perform janazah, Allah brightens those graves. And Nabi alayhi salam says, she used to pick up the dirt from the masjid. I found her walking in the gardens of Jannat. Nabi alayhi salam said, "Uridat alayya a'malu ummati." The actions of my ummat were presented to me. Amongst the noblest of actions I found, when some obstacle lies on the road, a man is driving, there is a brick, he parks his car, gets off, nobody is watching him, no fame, no recognition. He takes the brick and moves it away. There is a banana peel, some elderly person can slip and fall. Some obstacle in the way, he lifts it and moves it. Nabi alayhi salam says, I found that this action secures great ranks for my ummat in Jannat. And then I was shown the wrong of my ummat. I found one of the most despicable and one of the most evil sins of my ummah, when there are specks of dirt and there is some filth lying in the masjid, or times in those times where a person's saliva would lie also, where a person would ignore it and would not take it upon himself, would rather, you know, distribute this. This is this man's task, this is that man's task. I found when people ignore cleaning the masjid, I found this to be one of the most grave sins. Or on the other hand, availing one's expertise. In Bukhari Sharif there is a riwayat. One woman comes to Nabi alayhi salam. O Nabi of Allah, the Jummah crowd has extended a lot. And you know, we cannot see you. My son is a carpenter. If you accept his expertise, I can have him to build a beautiful minbar for you. I can have him to build a beautiful minbar. You can ascend the pulpit and then you can address the congregation. The riwayat of Bukhari says, Nabi alayhi salam then told this woman, Muri ghulamakin najjar. Muri ghulamakin najjar yaj'alu li a'wadan. Okay, oh sister, since you have offered your expertise and you have offered your help, tell your son who is the carpenter to make me that mimbar. And after that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ascended the pulpit. Prior to that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to rest on the branch of a tree. When the pulpit was built, then the Nabi of Allah did not lean on this branch. And it comes in a riwayat, from that day when the Nabi of Allah ascended the pulpit, the branch of the tree started crying in the separation of Nabi alayhi salam. That he got off the mimbar, he descended, and then he, you know, very passionately drew this branch close to his chest, and then he consoled it, and he said, are you not happy that Allah makes you a tree in Jannat, and the dwellers of Jannat eat your fruit? The earth split, and this branch disappeared. Nabi alayhi salam then said, "Law lam altazimhu." I swear by that Allah who has control over my life, if I was not to pacify this branch, it would have cried in my separation till the day of Qiyamah. It would have cried in my separation till the day of Qiyamah. So we find, Nabi alayhi salam says, that person who will hasaq qatat, as small as the nest of a bird. The words of the hadith is Ibn Majah, if a man builds the house of Allah, naturally no house of Allah can be built so small. The explanation the commentators give is, if his contribution is so minimum also, then to Nabi alayhi salam says, Allah will build for him a palace in Jannat. When Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, who is responsible for extending the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, brothers, when it came to, unfortunately, the greatest tragedy of this ummah today is that it considers its leisure time and its surplus wealth as a personal commodity. That is, to sum up the tragedy of this ummah, this is my time, this is my wealth. The downfall of this ummah came and set in. When this ummah fell, this BM belongs to me, this money belongs to me, this health belongs to me. Nothing belongs to us, everything belongs to Allah. In the time of Nabi alayhi salam, there were certain sahaba whom Nabi alayhi salam had such confidence over as far as their finance being accepted for deen, that any and every need, the Nabi of Allah could refer those people to that sahabi. You go to Uthman and tell him, I have sent you. And if a person came who has been directed by Nabi alayhi salam, no questions were asked. You will find today, unfortunately, there are many people who will obey Allah as far as their salah is concerned. You know, Allah is in charge of my life. I must look what Allah has told me to see. I must talk as Allah has to, but my money, I'm in charge. My money, I decide. Money, this is how I want to use it. Brothers, that is not deen. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Remember, the Nabi of Allah said, no man's wealth. I have repaid every man for what he has done. But I cannot repay Abu Bakr. Ma nafa'ani malu ahadim, ma nafa'ani malu Abi Bakrin. The wealth And let us not be fooled. Let us not be fooled that when Abu Bakr made this contribution, let us not for a moment think that when the other wealthy Sahaba did not exist. There were Sahaba that were much more wealthy. The question was, whose wealth was being accepted for Allah's deen? This was the critical issue. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, if you study the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, undoubtedly, it cannot be debated that the ideals of masajid should be of a simple structure. This has been encouraged in many, many ahadith. However, we learn that as the times grew and the Muslims prospered, for example, Sayyidina Uthman, not to go further down into the very Sahaba, when he took the responsibility of extending Masjid al-Nabawi, a lot of people came with different suggestions and complaints. And then one day he said, look, I've heard enough. Innakum sami'tu, inni sami'tu, wa innakum aktharutum. Some are saying this, some are saying that. But let me tell you, I repeatedly heard the Nabi of Allah saying, any person who will take out his wealth and contribute it to the house of Allah, and extend or build the house of Allah, just as the house of Allah enjoys a privilege over all the homes, in this dunya, Allah will build for him a palace in Jannat. Allah will build for him a house in Jannat. And this house will enjoy the privilege over all the other palaces of Jannat. It is sad and it is tragic that, you know, when we spend on the needs of our children, we can spend in the thousands. Brothers, it's not a matter of becoming personal, but most of our children attend these private schools where we spend a large amount of money, and rightfully so. Allah has given you the wealth, it's your son. In the interest of the academic prosperity of your child, if you will not spend that money, then who is going to spend it? May Allah give you barakat and give our children the best of education. But the point I want to say is, you know, comfortably annually we spend on 2-3 children, 200,000-300,000 rand, only on their academics, or 100,000. Yet on the contrary, when we make a minimum contribution of 1,000 or 10,000 or 50,000, we speak about it, we feel the pinch about it. Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has written, مَنْ كَتَبَ إِسْمَهُ عَلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الَّذِي يَبْنِيهِ كَانَ بَعِيدًا عَنِ الْإِخْلَاصِ. That person who makes any contribution and insists that my name be recorded, my name be engraved on that masjid, on that building, on whatever it is, that man should know he is devoid of spirituality. Stern and harsh words, but the quotations of senior people. So Uthman radiallahu anhu extended the masjid. At his demise, when the rebels came, you know, barging through his house, and they intended plotting and assassinating Sayyidina Uthman, then through the medium of some of his noble endeavors, he tried to engage them. Those people, history speaks about it, one of the most sad incidents in history was the brutal assassination of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. He then spoke to those people that had surrounded his house, and he told them, O people, the Nabi of Allah is gone, but now you plan to kill me and assassinate me. Have you forgotten I'm the only person in this ummah who enjoys the privilege of having two daughters of Nabi alayhi salam in his nikah? Dhun Nurain, the possessor of two lights. O people, have you forgotten that this well, Nabi alayhi salam said, whoever will purchase this well and make the water available for him is Jannat. It was me that came forward and gave my money and I made this well free. O people, have you forgotten how narrow this masjid of Nabi alayhi salam was? And it was me when I came into the reins of the Islamic Empire, and I spent lavishly on the needs of this masjid, and I extended this masjid. And the point I'm making here is through the medium of this noble endeavor. But of course, taqdeer was meant, and it had to go in that way. Unfortunately, they did not heed these noble endeavors of Sayyidina Uthman. And these rebels came, and cold-blooded Sayyidina Uthman was assassinated, and his blood fell on the verses, صِبْغَةَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صِبْغَةً وَنَحْنُ لَهُ عَابِدُونَ. That color yourself in the color of Allah, dye yourself in the dye of Allah. And can there be a dye better than the dye of Allah? They say this Quran has been preserved in certain museums of the world. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu enjoyed that privilege. Likewise, Walid ibn Abdul Malik, the king, when he became in charge of the Muslim empire, he spent in excess of 3 times the national income of Syria, of Damascus, on the Jamia Umawi Masjid of Damascus. Alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of visiting this masjid, which most scholars say will be the location where Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend. Now, I wanted to make mention of one particular incident that the Quran speaks about with regards to the construction of the masajid. That when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to Quba, the most honorable masjid, of course, is Masjid al-Haram. Thereafter is the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then is Masjid al-Aqsa, and then is Masjid al-Quba. However, if you speak about the most sacred piece of land, then Qadi Ayaz has made mention in his Kitab al-Shifa, and this view has been sanctioned by Abu al-Walid, Allama Abu al-Walid, who is amongst the senior scholars of the Maliki fiqh, that the most blessed piece of land on the face of this earth is that soil upon which rests the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, scholars have gone to the extent of saying this is more beloved to Allah than even the throne of Allah and the Kaaba of Allah. Nonetheless, when Nabi alayhi salam came to Medina, he stationed himself at Quba. And here a masjid was built. Few days Nabi alayhi salam stayed, then he went to Medina Munawwara. When he came to Medina Munawwara, this very masjid that today attracts Muslims from across the globe, there was a vacant land, and this land belonged to two orphans by the name of Sahal and Suhail. Nabi alayhi salam spoke to them and he expressed his intention that I intend putting up a masjid here. They more than willingly said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, then the land is free." Nabi alayhi salam says, no, you are orphans and I cannot accept anything from you. I will pay for it." Many sahaba came forward and said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, we will pay." Nabi alayhi salam said, "I will pay with my own money." Nabi alayhi salam then purchased this land and physically engaged in the construction of the masjid. And then he made dua. Like the Quran draws the picture of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. That when Ibrahim and Ismail were raising the Kaaba, and they both made dua to Almighty Allah, Allah accept this effort from us. So we find when Nabi alayhi salam came to Masjid Quba, there was another person in a nutshell by the name of Abu Amir. With ulterior motives, he built a masjid to divide the ummah. And may Allah make that this should never be the object of any Muslim in any community. It is said in many, farm towns, and that in a small community there is a split and two masjids are built. So anyway, this person by the name of Abu Amir built this masjid, who had evil intentions. And then he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, you can also come and perform namaz here." Nabi alayhi salam says, "I'm on my way to Tabuk. When I return from Tabuk, I will come and pray in your masjid." Subsequently, when Nabi alayhi salam returned from Tabuk, he had on plan, he will stop there, make namaz. Jibreel Amin descends and Jibreel alayhi salam says, "La taqum fihi abada." Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't ever stand in that land. Don't ever stand. La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawmin. This masjid Quba, which was established on taqwa, it is more better for you to stand there. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu used to say, "I prefer making namaz in masjid Quba than in Baytul Muqaddas." And one riwayat says, making namaz in masjid Quba will give you the reward of an accepted umrah. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salam sent Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Hamza and he says, "Go and demolish this here." Then Allah makes mention in great detail that وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That those who build the masjid on the grounds of dividing the Muslims, what ulterior motives, what nasty agendas, Allah Ta'ala says they will promise you that their intentions are noble. But remember, O Nabi of Allah, they are liars and don't ever stand on that land. After the masjid was demolished, Nabi alayhi salam then told one sahabi that, "Look here, the land is vacant, why don't you go build your house there?" So he refused and said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, Allah told you must never stand on that land. How can I build my house there?" But this sahabi by the name of Thabit bin Akram is desperate. Maybe he can build a house there. It comes in the riwayat, he built a house on that land, but such misfortune came his way. Some riwayat suggest his wife never conceived. Some riwayat suggest she conceived, but the child never lived. Historians write, till today, this land, which is 3 kilometers from Medina, is deserted. It's deserted that even a hen cannot lay eggs there. Why? Because of the nasty effects. Just as that land on which Allah's name is taken is the most blessed land, likewise that land on which evil takes place is the most worst land. Under the commentary of this ayat, it is written, just as this is Masjid al-Dhirar, the command of which was to be destroyed, every masjid which is built with name and fame, or with ulterior motives, or with contaminated income, could also be classified in Masjid al-Dhirar. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He makes us amongst the people of the masajid. Nabi alayhi salam says, "Wallah brothers, those that will not sit in their local masjid, I have seen such people, they are even deprived of sitting in the haram." They will come to Makkah and Medina, but if a man is not habitual to sit in the house of Allah, he cannot find pleasure to sit in the haram. He'll make his namaz and go. He cannot sit for long. So we make dua to the Almighty Allah that He give us the tawfiq. Rajulun qalbuhu, that man whose heart is attached to the masjid. Brothers, our masjid also that is to come up. Let us contribute to this masjid and to all Muslim projects, to all Islamic projects. There are many, many places where we can put up basic masjids in rural areas. Like that beautiful quotation of the sahaba, which always, you know, enhances spirituality. What did that sahabi tell Nabi alayhi salam? Salim man shi'ita, harib man shi'ita. O Nabi of Allah, severe ties with whichever tribe you want to, and those people are our enemies. Harib man shi'ita, join ties with whomsoever you wish, and our enemies will become our friends. Khudh min amwalina ma shi'ita. Take from our wealth whatever you want. وَمَا أَخَذْتَ مِنَّا كَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْنَا مِمَّا تَرَكْتَ. I swear by Allah, we will rejoice over the wealth you take, and we will regret over the wealth you do not accept. We will mourn over the wealth that is not accepted. So let us become those. There is a call of jihad. Yesterday I received an SMS from a brother who's in Palestine. He says the brothers in Palestine are making dua for the South African Muslims that are forwarding their funds. Really, those of us that Allah has given us wealth, it is an added opportunity and avenue for us to excel and for it to serve as an atonement for our shortfall in our other ibadat. To excel by spending in the path of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala make this masjid a reality and make it a means of barakat and rahmat and attracting people and make it a means of uniting the entire Muslim ummah. And wherever else masajid are, may Allah protect masajid from the nasty ploys of the enemies of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil
alamin. For all your CD needs, contact Simtek Islamic CDs. We have a wide range of CD-ROM and audio CDs to choose from. Try our Quranic CDs or choose from our vast range of English lectures. We even have selected Urdu lectures. And for your computer, we have screensavers, Islamic programs and much more. So call us on 082-500-9111. Simtek Islamic CDs, manufacturers and distributors of Islamic audio and media CDs.